Okay, yeah. So welcome to the Tonglen retreat. Lovely to have an order retreat running at Tararoka. Fantastic. And it's been a delight seeing you all arrive from all your different places. Yes. So I'm just going to say a little bit about the vision because I've got a particular vision about this retreat. I'm just going to say a bit about that and then we're going to just do a bit of a check-in personally. I didn't want to start with the check-in because you'll feel it's all too sudden and we're still with the organisational thing. So, but we'll do the, I'll just introduce the retreat first. Yes. So, I've got this big idea about this retreat being like an offering to the world, that we're creating an offering for the world. And I've just been thinking a bit about the effect of influence and well, how we can have an effect. And I think it's so easy for us to not really take that on, that we have so much of an effect. We might know that if we bump into somebody, we have an effect in, you know, on them like that. But for us to be sitting in a shrine room meditating, I don't think we find that easy to know that that has an effect. And I want us to sort of, well, take that on really. And I thought I'd just give you a couple of personal stories about that. So one of them took place in Glasgow when I was living and working in Glasgow, and I was reading Doris Lessing's book on marriages of zones 3, 4, and 5. I don't know if anyone knows that book. Marriages of Zones 3, 4, and 5. Yeah, it's a very beautiful book actually. And when I was describing this, the effect it had on me, Ratna Vandana was echoing how much it had changed her consciousness as well. And it's really about the nature of relationships and how relationships impact on consciousness. And that's a quick sort of story. And I was reading it very late at night. I think I finished it at something like 2 in the morning because it was having such a big impact on me. And I knew when I put the book down that my consciousness had been changed. My mind had been changed by that book. Anyway, next day I was working in Wintour's Publications in the office in Glasgow. And a previous partner phoned me from London and said, "I'm just phoning you to find out if you're okay because I had such a strong dream about you last night." And I said, "It's fine, everything's fine. I was just reading this book. It was having a really big impact on me in terms of relationships and things like that. And my consciousness got a bit changed." And he said, "Okay, it's good to know you're all right." And I put the phone down. And then half an hour later, the guy I was going out with phoned me and said, "I'm phoning you because I had such a strong dream about you last night." And I said, I know, I was reading this book and my consciousness was changed. It's all absolutely fine. I'm not sleeping with anybody else." And then I came off the phone and I thought, what is the nature of consciousness? Yeah? Because I knew that something had happened to me and then they knew that. How interesting. And it wasn't just like it was in the next room, do you know what I mean? It was like we were travelling quite a big distance. So what is the nature of consciousness? So that's one little story. I could tell you a number of stories, but that's one little story. Another one was maybe 1 or 2 years ago. I came into the community kitchen at Tararoka and the builder was sitting there. It was 8:30 in the morning and he was sitting having a cup of tea at the kitchen table. And I said, "Oh, hello, I didn't know you were coming today. Didn't expect to see you today." And his son was there, he was an apprentice. And he said, "Oh yeah, well we've got a few things to do in the kitchen. Knock a wall down and build a window and things." I said, "Oh, okay, just wasn't expecting you." And then the builder started doing things, and we were good friends with this builder, really. And you know, you get to know your builders, don't you? And they're often around in your house and everything like that. And his son was sort of hanging about in the kitchen, And I took him aside and I said, I can give you a few jobs to do if you're at a loose end. And he said, yes, please, just give me a few jobs because I don't really know what I'm doing here at the moment. I said, why are you here? Why are you here, you two, this morning? And he said, my dad had a load of tools stolen from the van last night and he's just terribly upset. And the only place he could think of coming to was here. So that's why we're here. So, and that's what we hear a lot. You know, we live in that sort of world at Tara-loka where workmen come into our orbit and that's how they are. And that's the influence of what is happening here and the relationships that we build up between us and the quality of atmosphere at this place. So I'm just passing this on because, again, it's just influences and effect. And I want us to create a positive influence for the world together, collectively, in this on this retreat. Another part of my vision is that I saw this DVD a few months ago with my community, which was called The Dharma Brothers. Does anybody know that DVD? Which is about a Vipassana retreat that was set up in the middle of a high security prison in the States. Yeah, I thought you would know that. And it's a fabulous sort of documentary film about these maybe 20 guys. They're in a high security prison for good reason, and they're vetted very carefully, and they have to basically sign up and commit themselves to this Vipassana retreat once they say they're going to do it. And they create a shrine room in the middle of the gym, and basically they're just sealed into the gym. And the film is of them doing a 10-day absolutely silent Vipassana retreat. And it's a little bit about their lives and then the effect of that retreat on them. And I just was incredibly moved by this, incredibly moved by this DVD. And well, I was very moved by their commitment. You know, they didn't, they knew that what they were signing up for was massive, you know, to do this retreat. And there was one guy who said, 9 years on death row, had nothing on day five. We know that feeling, don't we? Yeah. So, I mean, what they were facing in themselves. And the spirit in which they engaged with it, well, I just found terribly moving. And it was also very beautiful just to see them. They were just living in this space the whole time. They were in this sealed space in the middle of the gym. They were sleeping on the other side of the shrine space, as it were. The shrine space looked a little bit like the Order Convention shrine room, you know, all the blue silk. Yeah, so they were completely, they were in a room about this size of this room, blue silk, and then they slept on the outside of that, still in the gym. Do you see what I mean? And I just thought, gosh, what would it be like to create that kind of intensity and commitment and engagement as an order? How could we set that up as conditions? So, I want us to do that for our own practice, but also because I want the offering to be, the offering to the world to be pure and as, well, as much of an offering as it can be, as much of an influence as it can be. So, this is what you've signed up for. Yes. Yeah, so we're going to do that through a ritual tomorrow afternoon in the shrine room, where we're going to dedicate ourselves and take our places within that mandala, that spiritual mandala. And well, what have I been? What's the other term I've been using? Create a powerhouse of meditation and practice here. For ourselves, yes, but also for the world. Yeah, for my workmen. And for, well, whoever else we can reach, actually. And it's is sorely needed. I mean, at the moment, right now, people need it on a motorway, not very far away from here. So. And the other thing that we're going to be doing is, well, myself and Yasha Bodhi in particular are going to be doing, is I'm going to be writing a blog each day that's going to go on to the Buddhist Centre online. And then Yasha Bodhi is going to post up the audio recordings. And I want you to think of this like prayer flags. It's just going to go out there in the ether, the atmosphere and everything, and it's just going to blow into the universe, okay? As a way of this, the whole practice of Tonglen and the order practicing together, just being witnessed, and well, maybe that the atmosphere just going out in that direct, in that particular medium, I suppose. I think that's all I need to say. So, yeah, you've seen the program for tomorrow. It's going to be more or less the same program every day. We'll be doing a double meditation before breakfast. Then myself or Yasha Bodhi will be doing a presentation before lunch with another meditation. Tomorrow there's going to be a ritual at 4 o'clock, I think it is, yeah, where we'll take our place in the mandala. And in the evening we'll be doing puja, and the puja will be dedicated to the development of the bodhicitta, which is what we're doing here today and this the rest of the week, and probably what we're doing generally in our lives. And all the pujas will be sort of focused around well, the bodhicitta, the enlightened mind, the altruistic mind. And well, I just invite you to participate in those pujas as if in participating in them will help bring about the bodhicitta.